Hi everyone, I'm your host Tess from Spellbinding, and you're listening to Everyday Witch, a show that helps you discover and unlock the magic within. Hello everyone, today's guest is Erica Russo, a spiritual business coach, psychic medium, best-selling author, and healer. And I would love if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are and what started you on this spiritual journey.
Amazing. Well, first off, thank you for having me. My journey, it's a very interesting one. But I guess I would start back in 2017, where my husband struggled with anxiety his whole life. And we found ourselves in a place where we were entrepreneurs. We were opening up a lot of businesses around that time. And the stress was really causing him to go into a really dark place as far as his anxiety was concerned. And with that, I was an empath. So I was feeling everything. So I found myself in a pretty dark place as well. And something just told me out of the blue one day to tell him to start meditating. So he started meditating. And within a week, I saw such a dramatic difference in his mood and his overall energy. So I basically said to myself, if that can do that for him, what can it do for me? So I started meditating, and that kind of led me down the path of psychic and mediumship development, because spirits started showing up in my meditations. And so I kind of dove right into that. And I learned more about, you know, psychic impressions and mediumship and spirit communication. And that was really like the opening door for me, so to speak. And it brought me down the path of witchcraft and, you know, just personal development and healing and somatic practices. And really since then, I just knew that when I found something that worked for me, I would want to share it with everybody. I would want to share it with the world, with social media, with clients. And that's really where I started. And that's kind of how I found myself here.
That's awesome. What, like, how did it show up for you with the mediumship? Because I know it's different for everyone. Like, it's not people hear things or they see things, mm-hmm. or it all shows up differently. So like, how did that work for you?
So I had a lot of dream visitations when I was younger. I didn't know that was a form of mediumship. A lot of people get dream visitations, where it's your past loved one coming over, because it's the easiest way for spirit to connect with us, because our egos kind of shut off at that time, right? So when I was younger, like in my teens and early 20s, I had a couple of really intense dream visitations, but I didn't think anything of it. I didn't know that that was a form of spirit communication, but it really wasn't until, you know, my late 20s, early 30s, where I started my daily meditation practice, where my mediumship just kind of came naturally, because I was able to quiet my mind through the meditation practice. I guess the craziest story, or the one that's like coming up in my head right now, was I forgot how old I was, but I had to drive about 45 minutes away to get an emergency tooth extraction. It was a wisdom tooth that was coming in crooked, and it was very painful. So while I was waiting for the surgeon to see me, I was just kind of looking around the waiting room, and something came into my mind that said, Mike is buried around here. And Mike was a very dear friend of mine, who crossed over about 2 years prior to this. And I didn't go to the funeral. I only went to the wake. So I didn't know where he was buried. So I Googled it, and he was quite literally buried 7 minutes away from where I was. So after I had the emergency tooth extraction, I went to the cemetery where he was at, or where he was laid to rest. And this is like a really wild story, and I'm going to try to say it like so people can really visualize it. There's about 1,000 graves. You drive in, and there's absolutely no place for me to find where he's buried. There's no office, no nothing. So I just stop my car at a random place, and I literally look up and I say, Mike, I'm going to give you 15 minutes. I'm going to try to find your, you know, your grave. I'm giving you 15 minutes because I got to get back home. And I stepped out of the car, and immediately I stepped out of the car, there was a rush of wind that kind of pushed me forward. So I just kind of went with it. And then I found myself at this, like, you can either go straight or you can go right. And I found myself not able to go straight. Like, I couldn't put my foot in front. It was the craziest thing. It was almost like there was an invisible wall. So I pivoted and I went down a path, and there were about 9 rows of graves. And I found myself at one particular grave or one particular row, and I couldn't move again. Like, I couldn't pick up my foot to go to the next one. So I pivoted and I turned and I started walking down this row of graves. And the thing with, I mean, it was like many cemeteries where it was like there was someone buried from 1940, and then the person next to them was like 2005. So there wasn't, it wasn't in any chronological order. And I walked down this row of graves, and I found myself right in front of his grave that he shared with his mom. And I kind of just stood there for a little bit, like, did that actually just happen? Like, how did this happen? And I just remember just being like, if that was you, like, kind of guiding me to your place, give me a sign. And within a couple of seconds, a train just came flying by. And I was like, all right, I'm taking that as like, that was you. But that was the first time, that was really one of the biggest times in my life where I knew spirit was intelligent. And I knew that they're always trying to connect with us. And I knew that it was up to us to just quiet our minds so we can hear what they have to say.
I just got like chills. I love that. That's it's so crazy too, because I feel like a lot of people would like make that logical if that happened to them, because it does happen to so many people, but it's like people make it make sense, you know?
Yeah.
And in reality, absolutely. It's just like, it is spirit and it is like your intuition and someone guiding you, but you just have to believe in that instead.
And that's the hardest thing, right? That's absolutely the hardest thing. And, you know, when that happened, that really, I remember, you know, I told my husband about it. Like, I drove home and I was like, you're never going to believe what happened, because I still don't believe what happened. And he was like, that's nuts. And he's a very like grounded person. And I remember that was the first time where I called my best friend, and he is like this very New Yorker kind of guy. And I said, Joe, this is what happened. And he just, it got quiet on the other phone, the other side of the phone. And he goes, what are you, like Teresa Caputo or something? And I sat there, and that was the first time where I was like, maybe I am. Cause I started to remember my dream visitations from when I was younger and this, and you know, it really opened me up to seeing like, what if I am a medium? What if I'm able to do this for others? What if I'm able to gain evidence and help people heal and just be a channel in which spirit speaks through? And that's the biggest thing. And I love how you said, like, spirit is here, you know what I mean? And it is our intuition, but it's our mind that gets in the way. And quite literally, doing this work, I battled a lot with imposter syndrome, like a lot with imposter syndrome. So I thought something was wrong with me. Like, I thought something was wrong with my head. So I started learning about the human brain. And come to find out, the reason why, like, I'm sure you are highly intuitive and, you know, doing tarot readings and everything like that, you'll get an intuitive hit. But then you'll find yourself being like, I don't know if this is true, right? Like, how many times has that happened to you? You have a working human brain, because what essentially happens is when we get psychic impressions, when we get a spirit communicator, when we get intuition, it's coming from the right hemisphere of our brain. Okay. That's our creative side, our connection to the divine. It's about art. It's about intuition. And then once we receive that piece of information, it automatically gets pushed to the other hemisphere of the brain, which is our analytical thinking. It is our logical mind. It's the make it make sense side of our brain. And I've seen it so many times with people where it's like, you know, they get this beautiful intuitive hit and then they go, I could be wrong. Or like, I don't know if this is right. It just shows me that you have a normal functioning brain.
Yeah. Or you're like, I don't even want to say that because it sounds so crazy. Like,
right.
Yeah. And that's happened to me so many times where I'm like, oh, this crazy thing happened, but like, I don't even know if I should tell someone because it was so insane. You know, I get that a lot with my dreams where like, if I have repeating dreams of someone, it usually means something. And that happened to me one time where it was the same person over and over and they were in trouble all the time in my dreams. And so I finally looked them up because I hadn't talked to them in years and they were in prison. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I reached out to them and then we were just like pen pals, you know, and it was great. And then he got out and it was just like, okay, that was like, you needed me at the time and it was what it was. And then we moved on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And see, that's just the thing. I think that like, you know, when I started developing my psychic and my mediumship abilities, I never wanted to give people the answers. You know what I mean? And I think that a lot of readers, a lot of tarot readers are kind of like that. You don't want them to hand you all of the questions that they want answers to. What you want to do is give them the tools. You want to give them the wisdom that has helped you. Because we know that at the end of the day, we all have a purpose. We all have our own journey and we all have karma that we have to work through, you know? And we want them to be able to have a bigger perspective. We want them to know that they really, truly do have such a divine connection within themselves, you know? Just like your story was a perfect example, you know what I mean? Like, you probably got that psychic information through your dreams because you're not battling your ego when you're sleeping.
Right.
You know?
And that's like the easiest time. But a lot of people would just be like, oh, that was a weird dream. Like, I don't know why I keep having this dream.
Yeah. No, a lot of people. I mean, here's the thing. Being psychic is our natural state. It is our natural state. When we are born, when we are those little newborns, we are so connected to the divine. You know, we don't have egos yet. We, you know, and that's why so many children have a lot of, you know, paranormal experiences and they're able to really connect to spirit because their egos are not formed yet. We're not disconnected quite yet. And it's, you know, my thing is like, I would rather teach you how intuitive you are. I would rather give you the space and the container for you to find the confidence within yourself to learn to trust your intuition and you know, watch you bloom than me being like, yes, he's your twin flame. Yes, this is that, you know, yes, you guys are going to get back together. Like, I would much rather empower you to find that within yourself, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And it's like, it's hard because a lot of people just want the answer. They just want you to tell them what to do. And I struggle with that with reading for people because I'm like, I can't tell you what to do because it's your life, you know? And nothing like, I believe that nothing is like written in stone for the future. And it's based on people's decisions. So like, if I tell you what to do, then that totally changes like your future because you could choose to do something else, you know,
right,
based on what you decide in the reading and everything. So I'm not going to tell you this is set in stone and this is what you should do.
Yeah. And like you said, I think a lot of people just want the answer. Like that's really ultimately what it is. We literally want someone to give us a step-by-step guide as to like, okay, this is my next step. This is who I'm meant to meet. This is, and it just, it's never going to work like that. You know, that's the biggest thing. Whether you're going to a tarot reader, a psychic, a medium, Akashic records, astrology, numerology, anybody, you know, soul contract readings, it's not like that. We can give you a glimpse. We can give you insight. We can help you see different aspects about yourself. But at the end of the day, and this is the crazy part, is we live in a world with free will. And free will, like you said, you get to choose. You get to choose your next step. Every single day, you get to choose who you want to be that day. You get to choose if you do want to leave the relationship, or if you do want to give it another shot. And I think people find that frustrating sometimes, but that's how we learn.
Yes, I think people find it frustrating like all the time.
Yeah.
Because it would be so much easier if someone was like, here's exactly how you should live your life, and this is how it's going to be amazing. You know, like I would love that too, but it's not how it works.
No, it isn't. You know, I think that if it was that easy, if we had one particular sort of spiritual reading or, you know, divination that will quite literally give us everything that we need to know about our purpose and what we're meant to do, don't you think that the world would be a little bit boring? You know what I mean? Like we learn so much in our mistakes. We learn so much when we make choices and maybe ultimately they weren't the right one. And that's really where our growing happens, is in the mistakes, is in rock bottom, not when we're empowered and we're feeling high vibe and stuff. And ultimately, people don't want to feel that way. People don't want to feel like they're at rock bottom. So they're always going to try to find the answers, you know, externally. And, you know, like I said, like, I'm one of those, I'm not the typical reader where I'm like, I'm just going to give you the answers. Like, no, I'd rather give you the tools, because I know that you have what it takes to work through everything that God puts on your path. You know, I'd rather empower you to know that you can trust yourself and that you can do whatever your heart desires. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be worth it, you know?
Yeah. And like, speaking of tools and everything, what tips do you have for developing psychic abilities, or like, how do you help people with that?
So I know that this probably sounds very repetitive, especially if you're looking to develop and you listen to a lot of psychic and mediumship development teachers, but meditation, honestly, meditation is what's going to allow you to train your brain to quiet that monkey mind of yours so that you can receive the impressions, so that they can come in stronger, so that you can feel the subtle shift of energy if spirit's trying to come in. It is meditation. But it's also practice. You know what I mean? Like flexing your intuition. So whether that's, you know, downloading a game app or something. I always say there's this one called ESP Trainer in the iPhone App Store. It used to be free. Someone was telling me that it's like 99 cents now, but it's quite literally helping you with your extrasensory perception. And it's a pretty easy game. And I always say, let intuition be a part of your life. You know, that's the best thing. And it's as simple as like putting a playlist on shuffle and intuiting the next song. Is it going to be a country song? Is it going to be Katy Perry? Is it going to make you feel sad or joyful or whatever the case may be? There's so many ways that you can really allow intuition to just be integrated into your everyday life.
What do you think is like the biggest block for people with trusting their intuition?
Their own mind. Just like we were talking before, it's their own mind. It's not wanting to be wrong, not wanting to, you know, feel the shame or the embarrassment of getting a psychic hit and having it be wrong, not wanting to steer anybody in the incorrect direction. You know, that's a big one, because most people who are doing readings or psychic or mediumship readings, they genuinely just want to help people. You know, they genuinely want to make the world a better place and let their clients leave empowered and just feeling lighter. And that's the biggest thing, is they don't want to be wrong. They don't want to make something up. And that's something that it just shows what kind of heart you have. You know what I mean? Like, I think that having a heart like that and having that fear of being wrong, that just shows me that you really believe in this work, you know, and you believe that it can help people. So that's a great place to be, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. And there's so many things that you can do, like EFT tapping for like doubt and blocks and fear is great, or breath work is awesome. There's so many great somatic practices that can really allow you to work through those blocks. It's just as simple as, like, you know, doing your due diligence and looking it up.
Yeah, I agree. And like, it's hard because I never want to be wrong, you know, like I think everyone who does anything like with divination or psychic mediumship or just intuition in general, it's like, that's always a fear in the back of your mind of like, what if I'm wrong, or what if I'm guiding them down the wrong path? But I think the biggest thing with intuition is trusting yourself. It's like, that's the first thing you have to do, is trust yourself.
I think too, you know, I always say, and this is something that really helps me, like before every reading, before every mentoring session, I just close my eyes and I just almost, I guess it's a prayer, but I just close my eyes and I just say, I am a channel in which spirit speaks through. And it helps me get out of my own egoic mind, you know, and just let the session be what it's meant to be for that person at that time. And I always just try to set intentions for every session where it's exactly what the person needs. It might not be what they want, but it is what they need, you know?
Do you find it's easier to like help other people or do mediumship for other people than it is like for yourself or in your own life?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, yes and no. I think that for me, I have very strong boundaries when it comes to mediumship. Because I do it so often. So like I prefer reading for other people, to be completely honest. But I think that if you're doing mediumship to establish a connection with those that have crossed over that you're connected to, with no intentions of ever doing it at a professional level, I would say like, that's beautiful as well. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I'm ultimately wanting people to remember that they're a soul having a human experience. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it's really about. So the stories that we have, you know, the emotions and everything that comes with this human experience, it's secondary to who you truly are at the soul level. But to answer your question, like, I don't really have I get impressions from my sitters as well as the people that I've lost. And it's all kind of the same, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I just feel like sometimes with your own personal life, it's easier for ego to be involved because it's like yourself and you know what you want out of it or what you're trying to achieve. Whereas with other people, you don't really know anything about them.
Yeah. I think personally, if it's evidential mediumship that someone is trying to work themselves into, you're going to have to get outside of your comfort zone and do readings for other people because you know you're connected to your grandfather and your grandmother, and you know that they're there every step of the way with you. You know what I mean? You feel them, you know that they're there, you have those subtle conversations in your head with them. But if it's evidential mediumship that you're wanting to get into, you're going to have to get outside your comfort zone and, you know, sit in front of a stranger and read for them, because that's how you're going to gain the confidence and, you know, check the tally marks off, because that's what you have to do.
I know we talked a little bit about like how you work with people and stuff, but do you have a favorite method of working with people or like a favorite coaching style that you do?
So, I mean, I do one-on-one mentorship, specifically for like healers and readers who are wanting to step more into their business and scale their business, but also just really take their own healing seriously. I always liked the one-on-one mentorship just because in a one-on-one container, it's quite powerful. You know what I mean? It can be very powerful and healing, and it helps me really coach people to the root of the problems, but also give them the advice that they need for their business. You know what I mean? There's advice that I can give for business and social media and everything, and it's like a generic thing. But if they're having one particular problem, usually I've had that problem, so I can tell them what I did to work through that problem. You know, I'm also, you know, I am launching a membership soon, and that's really for people who want that live connection, like those spiritual workshops and classes and stuff. But I've always liked the one-on-one containers.
Yeah, that sounds like it is a lot of support and information. Yeah. And it would be good for like someone looking for that, not just like the healing. Cause I feel like there's so many coaches who just do the one aspect. They just do like the healing, or they do the business coach, but they don't do like everything.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. That's funny that you said that. I've noticed that like you either do business, and I'm like, dude, that's too much for me. I'd rather like, if you want me to mentor you, if you want to, you know, learn how I got from, you know, here to there with business and, you know, with my own personal healing journey, I'm going to give it to you all, because that's what a mentor does, you know, in my personal opinion.
No, I agree. And it kind of goes hand in hand, at least like I think it goes hand in hand when you're like building your business. You also have to go through the healing journey at the same time if you want it to be sustainable.
Right. I mean, I've always said like when it comes to entrepreneurship, especially when you are a healer in business, it is like when you decide to open up a business for yourself, I really truly feel like you are going the accelerated route into your own personal healing journey, because there are so many messes and blocks and just fear and failure that's going to come on your path. That you just, you know, to be honest, like, it's like when I first started back in 2018 to now, I am a completely different person. Like truly, like I can hardly recognize the healer that I was in 2018, let alone like maybe even last year, because it's such an accelerated program. It's such an acceleration with every month, every year you're in business as a healer, because you're constantly just learning, not just about, you know, the connections that you have, like the stories that you have and other people's healing journeys, but also just like the back end stuff of business and how incredibly hard it can be, you know?
Yeah. And you constantly are changing and evolving and growing because you have to in business. And then that forces you to in your personal life as well.
Right. Right. Like, absolutely. And I always say, like, you know, for me, it's just been, you're going to learn things. You're going to have beliefs, right? When you first start, especially with the spiritual stuff. That's a conversation for a different day, but you're going to come into this with your own set of beliefs, and then you're going to have experiences. You're going to have your own readings. You're going to have your own containers or workshops that you host, that things are going to come up, and, you know, these miracles are going to unfold. That's going to shape your belief system. You're going to become more open-minded. I promise you that doing this work, you're going to really truly start thinking differently and start shifting your beliefs because, again, you're accelerated. Something that might take someone 40 years to change. You know what I mean? Like, they're so set in one particular belief system that it maybe takes them 30 to 60 years sometimes, I've seen, for them to start questioning it. You're doing that in a quarter of the time when you're doing this work, because you're just putting yourself in these situations and these experiences where you're learning so much. You're experiencing so many different walks of life, and it's incredible and it's beautiful. And it's just, like I said, it's something that, like, being a healer in business is hard. It's hard. Absolutely. You know, and scaling as a healer is even harder. So it's something that, like I said, I love the one-on-one just for the simple fact that I like seeing other healers. I like seeing people who have that drive and that ambition and that fire, that they know they're here for more. They want to really make a mark on this world. And I want to help throw some kindling to that fire, because we need more healers. We need more people that will constantly step outside of their comfort zone and question themselves and break free of the barriers. That's what we're needing right now in this time frame.
Yeah. And like, with stepping outside of your comfort zone and how hard business can be, do you have advice for social media and like balancing it with being authentic, having your own life, like everything, struggling with imposter syndrome? I feel like it's very difficult for a lot of people to show up on social media and not get bogged down by like the negative aspects of it.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing that I can say when it comes to social media is this: if you know you're meant for more, if you know you are here to help people, if you find joy and just absolute fulfillment in helping others see the power within themselves, if you know you're here to raise the vibration, it's a little bit of a tough love thing that I'm about to say, but you're gonna have to get over it. You're going to have to show up. You're going to have to post. You're going to have to be vocal about who you are, what you stand for, and how you can help people. That's the best thing that I can honestly tell you. It's definitely something, like, I get it. I've been there many, many, many times. You know what I mean? But it was when I really started saying, like, I'm here to help. I'm here to really light fires under people's asses. I'm here to wake up the collective. I got to be louder on social media. I got to show up more. I have to really be a go-to place for people to learn about spirituality and developing their intuition. And it's really kind of a mindset thing at the end of the day. That's the biggest thing. And another thing that I can say is don't get so connected to one particular platform. Social media, we don't own it. That's the biggest thing. The algorithm, we're never going to be able to explain the algorithm. We're never going to be able to outsmart the algorithm. I know that's a big thing with people. Like, they just complain about the algorithm. Me, I'm to the point where it's like, you just have to continue to create. You just have to continue creating art, sharing your offers, sharing what you believe in, who you are as a mentor. And that's all that matters. You know what I mean? But don't, because I put a lot of my eggs in the TikTok basket for a while. And then, things happen, platforms change quickly. And then, you know, you hop over to something else. But I would say, like, always disperse your content in multiple different platforms. Therefore, if one of them stops or it's not working as well, you have another platform.
Yeah, that's good advice. Because also there's so many different audiences on so many different platforms too. So you'll reach so many more people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I think the biggest thing for me is coming down to square one. And I know it's hard with the witch wound, and a lot of people just don't want to come out of the spiritual closet. And I get that. But if you know with every fiber of your being and in your heart and in your soul that you're here to help people, you need to work through that fear of showing up. That's the greatest thing, because nobody knows that you exist. Nobody knows that you can help them if they don't know you exist, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like the first step, I guess, is like getting over that fear of showing up and being out there, out of the closet in a way of who you really are.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. You know, I've done it so many, you know, there's been times where I posted something and it was kind of out of my realm, I guess. And I sat there uncomfortable. And this is, I'm not talking like years ago, I'm talking like a couple weeks ago. You know, I posted something and it wasn't really something that I'm used to posting. And you know, you got to coach yourself through it. It's okay. It's just a piece of content. You know, it's just, you got to just let things be, I guess.
Yeah, that's great advice. The last question I always ask everyone is, what does magic mean to you?
Oh, magic to me is the potential and power within us all.
I love that.
Yeah. It's the power and the potential within us all. And sometimes that means lighting a candle and putting some herbs on it. And then other times it's just remembering truly how incredibly powerful you are.
I love that. Okay. So do you want to tell people where they can find you or how they can work with you really quick?
Absolutely. So my social media handle is Erica W. Russo on Instagram as well as TikTok. I also have a YouTube with a bunch of free resources. And you can head on over to my website, which is www.ericarusso.co for any of my current offerings, and then get on my email list because I have a lot of free content there as well.
Awesome. And I will put all those links in the bio as well, so people can go ahead and click on those. And thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.